Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today. I want to talk to you today about winning people to Jesus, just doing life and making sure that we're not kind of Christianese in our approach. And so if you've been saved more than 10 years, born again, know Jesus more than 10 years, raise your hand. How many of y'all more than 20 years? Come on, Weldon, raise your hand. 20. More than 30. Come on. Y'all just bragging now. That's all right. Okay. So when you're saved for a long time, you learn stuff like all the language, all the Christianese, bless you, hallelujah, praise the Lord, God is good. And all the time, guys, good. You do that in a club, nobody knows what you're talking about. And so you learn this language, and if you're not cautious, you forget what sheep smell like. And the Bible said that people are like sheep without a shepherd. In other words, they're lost. They're on their way to hell. Many of them, not because they're not good people, but because they don't know Jesus. So there's some erroneous teaching going on in the world today, and it is that all paths lead to Jesus or to heaven. And you can just believe in whatever kind of God that you want, and you go to heaven. And it's not true. Jesus said, I am not a way. He said, I am the way. So there's only one way, and I'm not talking about like Baptist, Presbyterian, Catholic, Lutheran. Those are religions, and all those are good, and any religion is good as long as it points to Jesus. And when you get to heaven, I'm sure there'll be a Baptist door, a Lutheran door, a Catholic door, and you're going to be surprised because you walk in and they're all serving and looking at this one guy named Jesus. I think you'll also be surprised. People ask me, is God black or white? You're really going to freak out because he's going to go, Buenos dias. Come on, somebody. And so God is all things to all people because he is what we are, and he created us in his likeness and his image. And so I want to talk about what God would want us to do with our lives. Matthew, the 18th chapter, it says, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. So people are lost. What do you think? If a man had 100 sheep, would he not leave the 99 and go after the one that is straying? Jesus is going to go after the one. God would have died. He would have sent Jesus for us if we were the only one. But if we've been in the church a while, we tend to lose that sense, that passion, that compassion to reach people for Jesus. Because it gets very easy just to say, hey, look, this is my boat. This belonged to Ashton when she was little. And so I don't really want to mess it up and get it wet, have to rub salt water out of it, or let it get wet and it gets mildewed. So I'm just going to keep it. But if there was a child drowning, I'd probably go ahead and just go ahead and use it. And if the dad was drowning, I'd probably say, well, let's use it. And if mom was drowning, I'd use it. And if the little brother was drowning, I'd use it. So we have all these life preservers to preserve life, but if they just sit in the boat tucked away and we don't even know where they are, then there's people who are drowning in the sea of divorce, depression, anxiety, marital issues. And so people are really hurting, and we are the church, and we're supposed to reach those people for Jesus, because he said, hey, I'm going to leave the 99. I'm not just going to go to church and make all my friends about church. I'm going to be the church. In fact, that's what we're doing in Ferguson, Florissant. You know, we've had some setbacks on some building opportunities, and we're not upset about that. We go, hey, listen, we don't have to have a church building to be the church. So we're just going to go in there and continue to do iConnects, feed people, help people, bless people. Come on, somebody. Because saved people save people. Come on, shout it with me. Saved people save people. All right, well then. So the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. So we have to make sure in our daily life that we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The Bible says in Proverbs, he that winneth souls is wise. So you could flip that and say, hey, he that does not win souls is not wise. In other words, it's a foolish thing for us not to tell people about Jesus. So in real life scenarios, we need to make sure that we're going after the one. The Bible said, how will they hear without a preacher? So when you say preacher, isn't that your job? Yes. Isn't that Pastor Phil's job or Pastor Paul's job? Yes, but it's your job, because the church throws out net fishing. Yeah. You have a pole in the water and you have to catch them. You don't have to clean them. You have to catch them. Because here's the reality. The Bible has a whole lot to say about hell. Hell is for real. Heaven is for real, but hell is real. And the Bible said that wide is the road that leads to hell, and there's a lot of people going to be there. And it says narrow is the road that leads to eternal life. So on this narrow road, we have to make sure that we as Christ followers understand that our job is to represent Jesus well, not be perfect, but just to love people. In real life, daily scenarios, reach the people that are next to you, because the church might not be able to do it individually, but you can do it individually. And so you have to just love people. Now, here's what you don't have to do. You don't have to judge people. I know my daughter now, she's 14, and I judged how long I've been in the ministry by that, because when my dad went to be on with the Lord, she's about, you know, just weeks old. So I've been in about 14 years. So we had 180 people in Fenton, and they were nice people, and the church was primarily white just because of the demographic of the area, and it was just like a nice people, but it really, I knew God wanted us to reach people and have a diverse church. I wanted red and yellow, black and white, their presses in his side, and it's just that I wanted to change the trajectory of the church. And I started preaching on television, and I lost my suit and lost my tie and started doing stuff like I do right now. I got cool suits, but a lot of times I found out that my ratings are higher when there are holes in my jeans and I wear a hoodie. So if this is what it takes to make people go, is it a preacher? Is it not a preacher? Then I can wear my suit tomorrow. Come on, somebody. But so I started doing church that way. Well, there's 180 people who are great people. They started seeing new people come in. So here's the first thing that happened. I remember the first Sunday we saw a really sexy girl come in. And man, she's all legs, short skirt. Everybody saw her. I saw her. Everybody saw her. People were singing, look what the Lord has done. Oh, Lord, look what the Lord has done. Great is thy faithfulness. Okay, so some of the church people said, look at her. Her shirt. Look at that. Just, oh, God. Got me crazy. So I said, yeah, her skirt is short, but your tongue is long. And so we have to love them. And so we're catching them, and I'm getting them in here, and then y'all are judging them. Remember the first Sunday, a gay guy walked up on a half shirt, skinny little dude, half shirt, beer bottle that his life savings was in. Like, it was about this high. And he came walking down the aisle to help us with the building program. And when he's walking down the aisles, the ushers stopped him, and I saw it, and I said, let him come. So he came up on stage, and then I heard his story. I was watching you in the middle of the night on television, and I just felt like my life was over, and nobody loved me, and for the first time in my life, I felt like I was accepted, and I was loved. And I hugged him, and held on to him, and just loved the heck out of him. And guess what? God cleaned him. Eventually, he has a beautiful son now. His life is what he wanted it to be. Somebody ought to give God praise. That's what the church looks like. It should have some old saints in it saying, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army. If I die, let me die. But it also should have, let's get it on. Because a church needs some older people and some younger people, but it needs no judgmental people. It needs people that love people exactly in the position that they are. Come on, somebody. Because I don't have it together, and I'm your pastor, so I'm assuming. Verse 36, survey says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because they fainted and they were scattered like a sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. He said, who's going to serve? Who's going to reach the community? Who's going to pass out tracts? Who's going to witness to people? Who's going to go to the nursing home? Who's going to love the people at the water cooler next to them at work? No. If you're in the army of the Lord, and you sang that a minute ago, I'm in the army of the Lord, some people think they're in the Secret Service. They're undercover. God wants us to be bold with our faith, because he said, if you will deny me before men, I will deny you before the Father. I hate it when my daughters of the house here have some guy that's macking up on them, and then the guy denies them in front of people. It's your girlfriend? Oh, we're friends. No. She told me you were putting your tongue in her mouth. I don't think that's just friends, okay? So if you're going to date a daughter of this house, I'm talking, I don't even know you, but you didn't have a daddy. I'm going to be your daddy. I'm going to tell a little punk, here's the deal. Is she your girl or is she not your girl? Come on. You don't deny her. You hold her hand in line at McDonald's and you ask her if she wants a supersize. Come on, somebody, right now. That's what you do if you come here. You're going to date one of my daughters. You open the door. Come on, somebody. You'd be a gentleman. She ain't. We off on something. I'm sorry. Apologize. Back, I got mad, got off in the flesh, and I just see some of these punks taking advantage of some of these young, beautiful girls who don't know they are because they didn't have a daddy to tell them who they are. And I'm here to tell you, I'm your dad telling you, you're anointed, you're blessed, you're qualified, you're favored, you're not cheap, and you don't need him. Come on, somebody. You need a real man. Ain't nothing like the real thing, baby. Okay. So verse 37 one more time so I can get back on path. Scene. His disciples said the laborers are few. So we have to do what the next verse says, which the next verse says, pray. We need to pray that the Lord would send laborers into the path. How did I get this big church? In Fenton, I just love the heck out of people. Healthy things grow. I never judge anybody. I'm not going to ever judge you. If you see me getting accused of something, here's what I always get accused of. I get accused for loving sinners. So I never get accused by sinners of grabbing money or being weird or doing stupid stuff. It's always church people going, did you hear he went down to the jail and met with that guy and that dude got convicted of blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I did. I went in there. Sure did. And I went in there. I loved the guy. Actually went in kind of punking everybody because the one guy wouldn't let me in. And I said, I need to get in. He said, you don't have an appointment and you don't have the paperwork. And I said, you don't know who I am. If you let me in that door, every cop in there is going to know me. And they wouldn't let me in. And then somebody opened the door and all St. Louis County Police Department saw me. And they train at our buildings every Tuesday and I give them all free stuff. So as soon as I walked in, they're like, hey, PD, come on, somebody. I ain't had a ticket in my life. Come on, somebody help me right now. I got to get out of jail free car. Come on. So I got in there and I said, hey, I don't even want to see him behind glass. I want him to come out like the human that he is and sit with me in the lobby. And guess what? He was sitting there and the first thing he did, because he hadn't touched another person in a year, he said, how in the H-E-double-L did you do this? I said, first of all, we don't need to be saying that because that's where you're on your way to right now. And I got you up in here right now to tell you, come on, somebody, that you know you need the mercy and the love of God right now. And I told you you need to go to church all the time, but you didn't think I needed to. But I'm just telling you, here's what you need to do now. And you'd be surprised how humble people are when they're in jail. Come on, somebody ought to help me. Some of y'all need to go to jail for just a day or two. Not come see you. But my point is that Jesus was always hanging around tax collectors, notorious hookers. He would be where the sinners are, not engaging in their activity, but engaging in their life, loving them, saying, you're too good for this. God's going to do something good for you. He's not mad at you. He's not pointing the finger to this way. He's pointing it this way. He wants to put a ring on your finger and a robe on your back. Instead, a lot of church people are like the second son who was judgmental and said, you never threw a party for me. You never killed a fattened calf for me. And he said, you've been with me your whole life. All you would have had to do was ask for a fattened calf. I didn't even know you wanted it. Well, I tell you what, he said, this your son, not my brother, your son, same thing Nicole does when Ashton does something stupid. Your daughter, I'm like a minute ago, when she was singing on stage, it was your daughter. Come on, somebody, right now. But see, so now he says, your son. He said, no. I am not here to condemn him. Jesus is preaching a message of radical grace so we can look in the eyes of people's lives and say, the marriage isn't going to work and your life isn't going to work. And so what we're going to do is we're going to throw out life preservers and we're not just going to invite people to church. We're going to bring people to church. If we've got to spend our own money to take them to Cracker Barrel to do it, come on, somebody ought to help me, because save people, save people. I don't want that Tiger Woods clap. Somebody ought to give me not a golf clap. I want a church clap. I want to get to the point to where you remember where God brought you from. I miss the days when people had testimony services and said, he brought me from a mighty long way. If it had not been for Jesus, you don't know where I would be. But now everybody got to have a new Cadillac, a new iPhone, and I'll watch you on Instagram. You're going to go to hell watching 30-second clips on Instagram because I know you're searching other stuff too. Somebody ought to shout amen. Somebody ought to go to the house of God and bring your family with you and your kids with you, because if you don't, you might just go to hell. Yeah, I said it. There, I said it again. Come on, Weldon, stick with me on this. Proverbs 11:30, the scripture I quoted, it says, the fruit of righteousness is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. So the wise thing to do is to incorporate, and I'm going to give you some real live illustrations, incorporate Jesus in your journey every day. Incorporate Jesus in your journey every day. So that looks like last weekend I did not come to church because it was time change weekend. So when you don't go to church, I don't go to church. So the crowds are terrible and everybody stays home. So I'm like, I ain't going. They ain't going. I ain't going. So I send the staff. Give it up one more time for Pastor Phil and all the team. Time change weekend. I'm going to take a break. So I took my daughter to Disney World. And we're sitting at the breakfast table out there at the restaurant. And they sit me next to this guy, tattoos all the way up here. But in his daughter, little daughter, and you can tell his wife and maybe his mom or her mom. And so, I mean, we're like really close. We're almost sitting. You know the tables they put you at, we're almost sitting next to each other. And so I'm, I always want to be nice, but I'm tired. Sunday morning, haven't had a cup of coffee yet. And but in here, I'm looking at him, and I have compassion towards him. And I want to make sure he doesn't go to hell. This is 8 a.m. in the morning. And so I look over the guy, look over at them. I remember my daughter wore that little, you know, princess outfit, so cute. Where are y'all from? Missouri. What part? Crystal City. Wow, just right in a row. And I said, oh, really? They said, yeah. So we really didn't want to talk to you or bug you, but all three of us were texting, oh, my God, it's that guy on the billboards, and it's the guy on TV. Is it really him? No, it can't be him. What would he be doing in Orlando? What would be the chances of him sitting right here? What the chances are is a divine intervention of the Holy Spirit coming in there. Come on, somebody, saying, hey, look, the Lord loves you. And I automatically was drawn to the guy. I liked the guy right away. I liked his tats. I liked it all the way up on his neck. I thought he looked good. Not everybody needs to do that, but some people just need that. And he looked good. And just loving on him, being nice to him. I did not at the end go, this was a divine appointment by the Holy Spirit. If you were to die today, do you know where you would spend eternity? Would that be heaven or hell? Can you pay your check at the pancake guy? Hang on, this guy's getting ready to go to hell. Don't bring no Mickey Mouse ears here right now, I'm telling you. Where would you go? I'm going to count to three. One, right now, I'm just asking you right now. Come on, somebody. You're scaring the crap out of everybody. It's weird. Don't be weird. Jesus isn't weird. Weird people made Jesus weird. Jesus is like the coolest guy in the world. So I just loved him. Thinking that, they would continue to probably watch on television and go, I like that guy. We're friends. He was nice to me. And then all y'all that live in Jefferson County, you're going to go reach that guy. All you have to do is start looking for a dude with a tattoo. Come on, somebody. Just invite everybody with a tattoo. And you'll be sure we got it covered. Don't judge people. Just love people. When Jesus was always brought with scenarios, whether it was the woman that was caught in the act of adultery, and he didn't condone her or condemn her. He just said, hey, my grace is sufficient. I love you. Go and sin no more. How can you go and sin no more? Only by being around grace. So can you get saved by going to church? And the answer, of course, is no. But I have a new analogy. I just invented it last night. Can you get drunk and not be in a bar? Well, yes, people get drunk in a car. People get drunk under a bridge. There's even a song called Getting Drunk on a Plane. So you can get drunk anywhere. You're more likely to get intoxicated when you hang around people that are getting intoxicated. And one of the reasons why is nothing more miserable than not being drunk around drunk people. So now put that over in the church world. You're more likely to be like Christ, lead a Christ-filled life, and this stuff that you hate about you starts falling off of you, not overnight, but just because you're drinking with the right people. See, now you're drinking new wine, and this energy that's coming on the inside of you, renewing your mind, is changing your life, and now you realize that you're not saved and forgiven because of something you did, you are saved and forgiven because of something he did 2,000 years ago when he tattooed his name, come on somebody, on his arm, on his hands and his feet and the crown of thorns. Somebody ought to say amen to this right now. And Jesus put his love for us on display, and we are supposed to put our love for them on display, because if we deny him before men, he will deny us before the Father. And there's one day coming, maybe when the Lord comes, or maybe when death comes to you, that you're going to want God and the Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus to actually accept you in the beloved. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. And you want to make sure you're not ashamed of God. There was an old song by Carlton Demetrius Pearson. Anybody remember Carlton? He was my best man at my wedding. I believe in God the Father, Jesus Christ, his only Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit, distinct yet three in one. I believe there is forgiveness, he would always go, for all the wrong you've done. That is why all the more I will serve you. That's how I rolled with, like, I was, grew up on that. My dad never understood that I was actually black. He was listening, all my exes live in Texas. And I was listening, I'll make love to you like you want me to, then I'll hold you tight. You don't know the Bible, but you know that. Even Weldon, come on, give it up. All the people in Weldon are like, I ain't falling for this. I know this is totally wrong. I'm saved now. Just do your life. Just be you. Don't be the preacher version of you, mean version of you. Just be you. I don't even like preachers that are like a different way on stage. It's like up here, they're talking like this, and they're just this. And that. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And in the back room, like, come on, man, what in the world's going on? I'm like, who are you? Are you that guy or this guy? So if you catch me in that alley or you catch me up here, I'm going to sound the same. The unedited, messed up, jacked up version that makes you feel good about you, because you know if God uses him, God could use me. I'm not even as screwed up as he is in many areas. I've never broke out into I'll make love to you in church. Verse 15 says, and he said, go throughout the whole world and preach the gospel. What's the gospel? The gospel's good news. So it's not like you got to preach the gospel, like quote scriptures. Just go around doing good and healing all those that are oppressed by the devils. So tell people, you look good today. Like, oh my God, rainy days and Mondays always get me down. No, Monday's good. Don't just say, thank God it's Friday. Yeah, yeah, thank God it's Monday. And they'll be like, what in the world's going on with you? I got drunk on St. Patrick's Day and it was horrible. And my lover broke up with me and I wrecked my car. And blah, blah, blah. And you're like, oh, I went to church and I had a good time. And I'm just telling you right now, you know, Easter's coming up. Maybe y'all ought to come to church with me, because I tell you, you don't even have to quit dancing. You just got to switch partners. Somebody ought to say amen to that right now. And so you've got preservers for everybody. Preach the gospel. Go out throughout the cities. City, Weldon is a city. West Palm Beach, they're having church right now as we speak. It's a city. Sunset Hills just started. It's a city. All these cities that we're going in, but it's not just plant a church. It's incredible, because the church is so important to your life. But the Great Commission, that's what we're reading right now. The Great Commission, God commissioned us to say, go into the world and preach the gospel. So today when you leave and tomorrow, you should just be nice to people. Just do this. Just smile. Don't have a resting witch face. Smile. Okay? So you smile, say hi to people, wave at people, compliment people. They might blow you off a little bit at first, but at the end of the day, especially people that are trying to get attention. Here's what I learned about human behavior. Growing up, my dad would be like, oh my gosh, look at that guy. And he's got tattoos up here and here and piercings all here and here, and maybe, you know, you see people got like the dish up in here and it's stretching out. And so my family would always be church people. They were like, oh my gosh, look at that. And then the Lord spoke to me one day and he said, see that guy over there? I said, yeah. And I thought in my head, because he had his hair with so many different colors, I thought his daddy must have been a parrot or something, man. What in the world? Well, the Lord said, that guy isn't doing that to get people to judge them. He's doing that because he's crying out for attention. So people that were molested and hurt and raped and wronged and lived a life of rejection, they're saying, somebody love me. And by doing that, they're actually just bringing on more criticism. So you ought to love them. So if I see people that look different than everybody else, I will always go up to them. You can ask Chris. That he travels with me all the time. I'm like, what's up, man? I love that tattoo. Where'd you get that done? And I'll show them my tattoo and so they don't feel like I'm judging them. And then I start complimenting them. You can see the wall going down, and now they're drawn to me. Next thing I know, they're texting me, on DMing me on Instagram or something like that, because they're going, hey, I'm the guy that you met. I'm the girl that you met. And guess what? That's what I want to do. I want to spend my life loving people that the enemy thought they were going to go to hell. Somebody ought to shout amen, because we're supposed to go throughout the whole world. Come on, Weldon. Everybody shout the whole world. So the whole world is not like, hey, if I went to Cuba, I would preach. No, you got to go here. I preached all week, and then flew in here last night, preached I think 5 or 6 times a day. And then at 10 o'clock tonight, I jump on a plane and I fly to Florida, work at the office of Florida on Monday, and I preach there Tuesday night. Tuesday night, they take me to Miami. In Miami, late after that, I fly to Cuba, preach in Cuba Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, fly back into the States and preach again. That's the whole world. But the only reason why the world opened up to me is because the world next to me, I'm talking about the person at the stool next to me, got conversation. And I told that story today. And somebody texted me and said, look, the guy that you met just sent me this picture. The guy I told you about with the tattoos? Chris, stand up if I'm telling the truth. And I showed it to Chris in the car. I go, look, Avery sent me a text that the guy, see, it's just a doubt. So how in the world, why would God send me all the way there? And that's when I asked the guy, I'm like, how in the world are you living in Crystal City and you didn't reach this guy and I had to go reach the guy in Orlando? Come on, somebody ought to shout amen, because save people. Come on, shout it again. Save people.
Save people.
Tell them everywhere. Dave, I know you're running the sound, but it won't screw up. Run up here really fast. Dave has been with me forever. And Dave Byer, one day I went to a concert up at Riverport or whatever it is out here. And I went to the concert, and behind the window, Dave Byer and his wife, I believe, they were selling nachos to everybody because it was what they had to do for their kids to be on the school program. I'm like, Dave, what's up? Then he's like, hey, Pastor. Then the person over here goes, oh, Pastor David, I go to your church. Oh, yeah. Person here goes, oh my gosh, Pastor David, I go to your church. Next person, I swear to God, hey, Pastor David. And they all start going, we all go to the same church? And I'm like, if you ever again in your life start working at a taco stand, and you, all you people, come here, get your heads out here right now. Everybody in this place should have known where you went to church, because what if they were going to hell? Now put some more chili on that thing right now. And I don't want to hear about this junk again. That's the truth, isn't it, Dave? Come on, give it up for Dave, the best sound man in the world. So they're right next to each other. Nobody's trying to get each other saved. If they're drowning and they're on their way to hell, everybody needs to pick up cards, letters, CDs, gift cards, and share your faith with everybody everywhere, because you don't know who and when their time's expired. The bridge in Florida fell on those people. What? The guy who was on the front row, and Sheldon's around here somewhere right now. He's a donor. He gave us a second church in Florida recently. They flew in this weekend to be with me. And he, one of his companies that he owns is the Porta Potty. It was all South Florida. So yesterday he told me, PD, one of our Porta Potty trucks with our staff was at the red light getting ready to go under that bridge. But it didn't work out, and so he was under it. And I said, I bet he wouldn't use that porta potty on the back of that truck. But I'm just saying, it's really close sometimes for people. So you got to share it with your staff, your boss, your neighbor, your friend, everywhere you go. You don't have to be in the Jehovah's Witnesses are always knocking on the door, right? Anybody ever seen him knock on the door? I let him in one day. I said, hey, come in. What do you want to talk about? And he goes, I don't know. I've never made it this far. I don't know. But I'm just saying that I made that up. But the fact is, they're out doing that. You need to go out witnessing everywhere. Not in a weird way, just in your way. I'm talking next Sunday. I'm talking Good Friday, going into Holy Week, Easter. Good Friday is the time that we celebrate. Everybody will go to church Easter because it's a religious thing to do. But very few people go to Good Friday services. And that's when the Lord told me years ago, he said, that's the time that I died. So I want you to tell your church to come receive my blood and acknowledge my sacrificial gift on Good Friday. Come on, somebody. I'm talking Weldon, Sunset Hills, Earth City, all campuses. We're going to have church Good Friday and Easter. But the Easter people, we love them and we want them to be here. But we want to be the first ones to show up. Say, we love you, Lord. We honor you. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to pray for you. And I want you to raise your hand here in Weldon. If you say, Pastor, I don't feel condemned, but I do feel convicted that I have not shared my faith as much as I should. It should be everybody. Come on, raise your hands. It should be everybody. You can put it down and pray this prayer. Say, Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I will live for you. I commit my days, which are numbered, to your plan. I will obey you, Lord. I will share my faith everywhere I go. I will bring you up in conversation. When the Holy Spirit tugs at my heart, I'll make that ask. I'll make that invitation. And I'll actually offer to bring them to church. I'll take them to Old Henry's. I'll take them to Cracker Barrel. I'll take them to restaurants, because if you gave the big gift, I could give a gift to change their life. In the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen.
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life, and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.